Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 244, episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Friday, July 8th, 2022. My name is Jack O'Brien, aka if you like Hadron Colliders and getting energy drained. That is Christy Yamaguchi Maine making a reference to all the conspiracy theories around what the Hadron Collider is doing to us. I think there are maybe some subtler ones that I wasn't familiar with. I caught the ones that was like we've been plunged into a new portal into hell. A new portal into hell. I think we already opened one up in 2015. But I think there's also like energy draining and like keep your energy up, keep your vibrations high. I don't know what any of that shit means. Thank you, Christy Yamaguchi, man, at Waffle House. I am genuinely thrilled to be joined by a very special guest co-host, the producer behind shows like Fake Doctors, Real Friends. Welcome to our show. You've heard her on Pop Culture Happy Hour, read her at Vulture, the AV Club, Teen Vogue, many more. She is the host and executive producer of Comic-Con, Metapod. It's the brilliant and talented Joelle Moniz.
Hey, what's up?
What's
I'm
up, Joe?
Back. I want to say a special hello to the TDC fan who found me at a union meeting. Appreciate you. I'm happy to be the lady voice of this podcast. And shout out to your wife. Y'all were beautiful.
Aw.
It was really nice.
Were you like speaking at it and they came up and found you after? Or they were
yes,
like...
I was speaking on organizing during a pandemic. And so, you know, afterwards people came up to talk about, you know, organizing principles and XYZ. And then he was like, I'm just here as a fan of the Daily Zeitgeist. And I was like, hell yes. Found you. Love it.
Amazing.
So that was special. I also wanted to tell you that I've joined the matcha life. So I'm here. I talked about how I couldn't do espressos anymore. I tried to switch to chai tea. My body said that's still too much caffeine. So now I'm trying grass milk and I don't hate it.
Grass milk is what you were calling matcha.
Yeah.
Which I think is fair. Let's bring in our guest and we can talk matcha.
Yes.
See if they have any thoughts. In our third seat, we are thrilled, fortunate, blessed to be joined by an actor, comedian, writer who's written for SpongeBob SquarePants, Shrill, Fairview, who has appeared on Viceland, performed just everywhere, just a truly hilarious stand-up comedian that I am very thrilled to have on the show. It is the brilliant and talented Claire O'Kane.
Hey, matcha life.
Matcha life. Living that matcha life, right?
I'm actively drinking matcha right now.
Are you really?
Me too.
I would never lie to you.
Okay. that's important to me, and I wanted to establish that up top because I did not believe you when you first said that.
Wait, Claire, so we were talking before we got on about homemade versus store-bought. I've been doing the store-bought situation where I just get it at the local cafe. Are you making yours at home?
Absolutely not. I wouldn't even know where to begin to modify my greens.
You know,
how do you do it?
Wooden whisk thing. I know that. And then there's maybe some water in it.
The whisk thing is like beautiful and like great in theory. And I was incapable of using it to like mix anything because I just like don't have the dexterity and like the small hand. I don't know. Right. I have an intention tremor. It was just a mess. And I got at Ralph's, like the version of Kroger that we have in Los Angeles. I got a little like whisk, like electric whisk thing that costs like $7, battery operated. It's got a little whisk on it that like spins around really fast. And that made making matcha super easy for me. I did mention before we started recording that since recommending it to you and being like, oh, Joelle, you simply must start living the matcha life. It's so much better for you. I have switched back to coffee. I went to Guatemala for a couple weeks.
Oh, okay.
And no matter how many people I asked, they would not make me a matcha latte. And I was was asking everyone. I was like, where's a guy get a nice matcha latte around here?
See what happens when you leave LA?
Yeah. Exactly. No, so and the coffee down there is great. So I went back to coffee and I just haven't done like when I switched from coffee to matcha, I felt like I had a flu for a week because of the caffeine drop off and then it was good. So give yourself a week to not feel great.
Okay.
All right.
That's my advice.
I quit caffeine when I got COVID. I don't know if you heard about this. I don't know if they're talking about this online, but
COVID. Okay. Right.
And
that's what I'm talking about.
And I got it and I was like, you know what? I'm just not going to do caffeine for about 3 months. No coffee.
Yeah.
And it felt great. And then I went to Italy. All they got in Italy is these little tiny cups of coffee. That's, I don't know if you heard about this. Is a lot of coffee in one little thing. Espresso.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
a heart attack in a cup.
Fucked up ever since.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying real hard. I can't have these panic attacks anymore. It's too stressful. Great matcha talk, everybody.
Great matcha talk. And break.
That's something from your search history that, reveals something about you to us.
Wait a second.
No, I skipped things. You got to do a recap. Damn it. I was
pre-cap.
So smooth with it.
Damn.
Okay. Rewind.
Coming in. I love it, though. All right. You're gonna take us through the search history, overrated, underrated. First, I'm just going to tell the people a couple of the things we're talking about. The Washington Post has given us a great resource that we can use for ourselves. We can share with our family about what to do during a mass shooting. It is really fucked up and weird that this seems to be the Washington Post and New York Times and just generally the mainstream media approach to this new apocalyptic reality we're living in, which is just like, yeah, okay, so this is happening. Here are our new overlords. We'd like you to meet them. Here's a like profile of a bunch of anti-choice 22-year-olds that we think you might enjoy. That was a New York Times piece. And the Washington Post has just some like helpful tips about like what to do in a mass shooting that includes just a lot of like tactical operator speak for like I don't know. We'll get to it. It's pretty, it's like both funny and just causing me to despair. If we have time, we're going to compare and contrast two scandals. If we don't have time, it will be in, I guess, yesterday's trending. But so Boris Johnson did in fact resign. I think it was like he wasn't quick enough to condemn the actions of a real piece of shit. Also, like, threw parties that signaled he wasn't taking the COVID threat seriously. And then we have another one where, like, on this side of the pond, the proverbial pond, Lindsey Graham has decided he won't comply with subpoenas. And that seems to be, like, all Republicans are like, yeah, we don't, like, the law doesn't apply to us. So we're not really much in common there. I think I just want to ask if I can move to the UK because they still seem to have a functioning society, civilization.
I don't know.
Maybe, yeah, maybe not. I don't know.
They eat beans for breakfast over there.
I love the beans for breakfast. I do love a baked bean with some eggs. It's
a blood sausage. Oh God.
I don't fuck with blood sausage. However, I am not a monster. And the fact that people treat those two as equivalent, I don't know. That's bean erasure. But we're going to also talk about Popeye is, like, Sailor I guess the man? Latest soldier in the culture war. They're re-upping the Popeye comic strip. I don't know. This makes me feel sad that this is a conversation. All of that, plenty more. But first, Joelle, why don't you help us get to know our guest Claire better?
It's time to learn about Claire, and we'll begin with your search history. What's something from your search history that tells us about you, Claire?
Recently, I've been looking at pictures of scorpions in amber. You guys know?
That's dope. That's dope. Make a new age Jurassic Park theme. Love it.
Kind of cool, because I'm looking for... I've gotten to the point where I'm like, you know what? I'm a Scorpio rising. You know what? Yes. I'm going to get a tattoo of that, I think. So...
Ooh. Tight. I'm a Scorpio moon, and I definitely want to get a scorpion like shadow inside of a moon. I don't care if it's tacky. It's epic. Yes.
Jackie, any scorpion? Do you have any scorpion in your chart?
I'm a Leo. I tend to gravitate towards Geminis.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Does it make sense? I feel like it's
all fire and
it
air.
Must. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
You love a little chaos. I respect it.
But okay, I'm looking at some scorpions and amber tattoos, and they are very cool. I feel like I'm too late in the game to get tattoos, but I envy people with tattoos.
You just got to grow a sick gray beard and start having your midlife crisis.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. I feel like that would be the only thing that it would signal, other than maybe I'm like, oh, that's cool looking, would be, oh, he's afraid of death. Now more than it used to be.
I want to see Jack on a Harley. I'm ready. Yeah. Motorcycle Jack, bring it on. Oh God. Claire, what's something that you think is overrated?
Purchasing clothes online.
Oh, ding ding, Claire. Why overrated?
I think the convenience is just not worth it when it comes to you getting shoes in the mail that you think are going to fit. The number says, yeah, this is the number I'm putting in.
That's the one I usually buy.
Mm-hmm. And you wear them and you're like, oh, I look like a damn clown walking down the street. The backs of my ankles are ripped to shreds somehow. Yeah. And it's just not worth it. Just go to the store to get your stuff.
I agree. As a plus size shopper, sometimes I have no choice but to order online. And it sucks on two folds. One, sometimes I'll buy something super cute, but then I get it and the feel is wrong. Like, I bought this like adorable purple skirt, but it feels like a sleeping bag. I would have never made this purchase in store. Okay. It makes swishy sounds when I walk in it, but I won't return anything because I have to go to a post office. I got to print. Then I don't have a printer. Okay. What year is it? I can't make returns. I'm 30 years old. I still can't do it. So if I buy something, I'm either keeping it or I found a Goodwill. It's not that far from my place. I'll just drop it off there. Hopefully somebody else can use it. It was smart enough to go to a store to purchase clothing that actually works for them. Gosh, what a true nightmare. A first world problem, but like a nightmare of a first world problem.
100%. Well, they should just say what the clothes feel like when you're on the website. Say, what does it feel like? Sleeping bag, spider web.
sleeping bag swish with a spider web finish.
Yeah, what does it sound like?
Yeah. I feel like the convenience is fully taken over by like all the impracticality of it and the returns and the need for a printer, which nobody has a printer, right?
No.
Like
those died.
Those are for work. Like if you still work for some place that has a printer, then maybe you can go in there. But it's the worst. And it is like the idea of online shopping is completely based around having a printer in most cases, right?
You know what? And it's fun because it's bizarre because I love online shopping, like the actual act of, and I'm putting it in the cart and I'm looking at the things. Ooh, I found a deal. And then honey found me an extra bonus deal. Love it. And then it's always buyer's remorse. Yeah. I'll get five things and like two of them I'll be like spot on. And the other three are like, oh, I guess I own this now.
Yeah. It's that I compulsively buy things online, things I don't need, but it feels good to buy stuff.
It does.
I gotta say.
True. Brick and mortar is like just in terms of sales figures and just like the future of commerce. It seems like people just generally are agreeing with this overrated and are no longer like shopping as much online and are. I have a friend who works in the finance end of this stuff, and I don't usually understand what he's talking about, but that was one thing he said. He was like, yeah, like people now are shopping more at brick and mortar stores and they're like going to the stores with like the conversion rate. It's not like they just go in and absently wander around. They like go know what they want and buy it, which makes sense because I keep hearing this word COVID. I'm not sure what it means, but yeah.
People are smarter than me is what I just heard. Like, look at people taking the time to actually search for what they want, go to the store, pick it up like geniuses. Listen, if that's you, I'm appreciative. Thank you for not doing the fast fashion thing and like buying smarter.
I wonder if like sales reps have adapted to the fact that we hate them and like they have like backed off a little bit, because that used to be a thing that I hated clothes shopping because I didn't like just that interaction like from the start where it's just like a weird fake like, hey, like we're friends, right? Like that's the premise of this conversation. And like,
tell me your size and I'll go shopping with you. No, ma'am. Leave me alone, please, sir. I don't need it. What I do want, though, is the champagne experience.
Right.
Before COVID, Eloquii was opening up stores all across America, and then they got bought by Walmart, and they were, like, closing all of those down. It was horrendous. I was waiting for them to open up one in L.A. because they would greet you with a glass of champagne, and then you go shopping in their store, and they have big private dressing rooms. And I was like, that is all I want in life. Like, if you greet me with champagne, instantly, this is a 10 out of 10 experience. No matter what happens beyond this champagne, I'm a very happy person. Bring back the, like, Bergdorf's Neiman Marcus style of shopping, the personal shoppers, the champagne. I would like models in store of all sizes to wear the clothes so I can see what they look like while I just, like, relax and chat with my friends. Have you seen The Women People? Watch it. It's a great movie. This is what I want out of life. Shopping could be better. It's all we're saying here. Oh my gosh. Claire, tell us something that's underrated in your opinion.
I recently rented a convertible car when I was visiting LA. Highly underrated. I'm going to say everybody should drive around in a convertible at least once in their life, with the threat of large objects falling off of other cars and hitting you in the head. It's thrilling. And it's like, music sounds better. I don't mean to sound like I'm stoned, but it's just, you know, it's just an insane experience. And I was specifically driving in LA. I don't know what it's like, you know, in like Dallas or whatever. History shows it's not a good place to have a convertible, but I would say that it's just so fun. I can't speak to being a passenger in the back seat of a convertible. That seems maybe overrated, but underrated, right? Driving in a convertible in LA.
I just watched Thelma and Louise for the first time like a month ago, and so I'm catching the vibes. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of winding your hair, but I would absolutely have to wear a scarf because like after half an hour at full speed, it would be an issue. But there is something about driving around certain parts of LA specifically, like pretty much anywhere on the east side, you start to feel way more glamorous and or cool depending on which. Like if you're in Beverly Hills and you're driving around in a car that's like clean and semi-nice, you're like, my God, am I wealthy? What's happening over here? Like I feel very posh and it's amazing. Or, you know, if you're like in East Los Angeles and the fashion district, suddenly you're like, oh, this is where cool kids are and I'm here, so therefore I must also be cool. And I can only imagine that a convertible is just really heightening all of those feelings. I'm a convertible. Yeah. You've convinced me.
And you can like put the top up too, right? Like it's not mandatory.
I do suggest convertible. At some point putting the top up, or else the top of your head will get sunburned.
Right. Yeah.
That's kind of just what happened to me.
That's just I like to undercut people who are excited about a thing by tempering it with the practical. Well, you can always put the top up and wear a hat. And I don't think I've ever driven in a convertible. I think I've only been in one of the Jeep Wranglers when I was in high school that are like made of paper, except for a roll bar. And it was like driving on the highway with that person was a very like violent experience.
Oh, no.
Well, just because it's like everything is like, you know, flapping so hard. They're just it's like,
yeah,
just your car is a half tent at that point. But I have seen a lot of people driving around L.A. in presumably rental cars in that are convertibles. And also, it seems like generally like 50 plus men have like old school convertibles that they proudly drive around in and like kind of will make eye contact with you as they pull up in their convertible.
And they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did the head nod and
the fellow convertible driver head nod. Yeah. All right. Well, I now have my marching orders. I'm gonna drive a convertible before it's too late. Yeah.
With your amber scorpion tattoo. Beautiful.
Yeah. I don't know. What's a good Leo tattoo? I gotta look that up. I mean,
just get a lion with a crown on its head.
Okay.
King shit.
That definitely matches my energy. So
totally.
Yeah.
Get some blood splatter on the teeth.
Yeah, a lion is just eating and just kind of taking a nap under a tree.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That kind just of vibe. Like a
tired lion.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll check in with the Washington Post on their tips for living in our new America.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
And we're back. And the Washington Post has given us some sane tips for surviving a mass shooting because nothing is wrong and everything is okay in the United States. Yeah, it was like, I don't know, it's kind of written in the same voice as a piece in like a culture or society page where at one point they recommend like before settling into your seat or spot, ask yourself, if there's an attack, what will I do? It only takes a moment to answer this question before you sit back, relax, and enjoy your outing. So it's like practical tips for going out, having a good weekend, but also being vigilant and keeping your fucking head on a swivel in case of attack from a shooter.
This is my life. I've been doing that.
Right. And yeah.
Now everyone's on my level.
First of all. But I also think it's like Hinman follows it up with, think of it as making a regular deposit in a survival bank. And then if an emergency arises, being able to make a potentially life-saving withdrawal. That is the darkest shit I have ever heard in my entire life. And the idea that these tips are both practical, possibly necessary. And it's so deeply disturbing, particularly when you know, with the shooting in Illinois recently and hearing from and about the children involved there. I don't know if you guys saw the video of like an entire high school band just taking off and running when they heard the shots fire. I don't know. Satire or necessary ingredients? What do we think?
It feels like satire and also necessary.
Yeah. Oh boy.
So we open with a word about the importance of advancing your location, which is like their security expert operator speech for like doing advanced planning and research. So they're like, you neo-libs love doing homework. So just like start looking at the schematics and escape plans for every building you occupy before you go. And then you can just, you know, be assured that we're going to have a good time. Everybody can relax. And, you know, if someone comes in shouting something incoherent about you being a child groomer and starts spraying gunfire everywhere or whatever, you'll know what to do. You're ready for everything, down to clown, baby. And then, yeah, so then they get into the real shit. Like, okay, so what happens? They're here. They're shooting at you. And
make yourself as small a target as possible.
Yeah.
And then get away as fast as you can, which is a very vague instruction. Yeah. Get away if you can tell which direction the shots are coming from and you're not accidentally trampled by everybody else trying to escape. It's giving the level of anxiety I get every time I get on a plane and they're like, so if there's an emergency, you're just going to reach under your seat. I'm like, these aisles are so small. I'm going to get out of my seat, get on the floor, reach under there for that life preserver. Is it going to protect me for real? You could just blow it up. Like, I don't believe any of this is going to work.
Yeah.
Planes are safe, so hopefully not this time.
Yeah.
But yeah, very anxiety inducing.
Yeah. First thing you want to think about is which is get down. And if you can determine which direction it's coming from, get away. That's our general rule. The perp tends to be wildly firing, so your very best bet is to be as small a target as you can and getting away as fast as you can. And then they like give some suggestions about like finding the most solid structure to hide behind. Like using a car as a shield may not be ideal if the vehicle is made of weaker materials like fiberglass or plastic. If there's an option, concrete or brick walls can be very helpful and would offer better protection than stucco or sheetrock dividers. If it's a true heinous active shooter who is looking to target individuals, getting to a place you can't be seen is very helpful. I love that. It's so funny to me, the like using tactical and operator. Like, you know how police use as many words as possible to like describe something? They're like, well, we encountered the individual and made a tactical approach to the, like, they just said getting to a place you can't be seen is very helpful instead of like hide, motherfucker, hide.
I'm gonna run to the nearest wall, but first I'm gonna knock on it to make sure it's,
yeah, you're doing the
solid.
Knock to make
I'm doing the knock. I'm putting my ear to the wall.
Right.
Looking for the studs.
Right. Do a stud finder test real quick. Make sure you're behind something solid. You know, consult all the homework you did before arriving, all the advancing that you did to make sure you are near a car that withstands bullets better than other cars.
a Hummer?
Yeah, exactly.
Movies have taught me that will explode, and then it's in a different type of trouble.
But I think that the strategy of using a lot of boring words to say the thing is a way of, like, I feel like I'm seeing them want, like, try and feel like they have control of the situation.
Yes.
Rather than saying, like, hide. They're like, well, what you're going to want to do is getting to a place you can't be seen with a, you know, shelter option peripheral that keeps you behind something. It's just like, yeah, okay, you got it.
This line particularly chilling. Just like children playing sports learn to react quickly to a fast pitch or a pass from a teammate, they can be taught how to react in an emergency. Very vague what an emergency.
Yeah.
This is beyond emergency. This is a mass shooting. Let's be very specific. And so can adults, which is, I don't want like 4 or 6 year olds to have to react to gunfire with like the thought process of a Marine. That's very disturbing to me.
Yeah. Yeah. We want your kids. Like, I need to start training my 4 and 6 year old to react to gunfire with just like stony, like dead-eyed, like cool. they're like, in a mass shooting, calm is a superpower. So that's what I'll start telling my kids, is that, like, you know how like you like the superpowers where like people can fly and do stuff like that? The real superpower you want to develop is desensitization to mass shootings. So
even all those superheroes become super after some sort of horrific traumatic event.
Yeah.
This could be yours.
Forever. Yeah, this could be your origin story, baby.
Yikes.
And then, so the part that like really made it, like situated it within the logic of the police and the police state that is has been pretty strong and unshakable in America and feels like it's using these opportunities to get stronger, is like up next is a FBI agent they consult who says, one thing you have to realize is no one knows how they're going to react or respond. When it happens to them, it is the most average, routine, Monday moment of their day. And then gunmen and mass shootings get more sophisticated over time, throwing more advanced challenges at those trying to escape their lines of fire. The Highland Park suspect, for instance, is alleged to have taken a sniper's position from a rooftop on the parade route, which gave him a tactical advantage. As a collective, we underestimate the offender and the offender cohort every single day.
I don't want to hear that from the FBI.
The FBI added, yeah. So first of all, like, I don't know that that's necessarily true. Like, the people, I don't know. Like, that feels like them trying to, like, that's what is particularly dispiriting, is that they are taking this narrative and rather than being like, I don't know, it's like real fucked up, they're like, yeah, see, this is what we've been saying and they're getting better at it, so we need more power and like everybody needs to like be trained to evade these like super mass shooters. Like, that is the the narrative that they're going to try and put out there, and the Washington Post and the New York Times are just like so wide open to what the fuck ever the police want to tell them. Like they just report it without any like questioning.
There's no thought on perspective. It is the FBI's job to try to figure out like how would we keep people safe, you know, in the same way that Secret Service's responsibility, like how we keep, they're not there to pass laws or specifically gun reform. So I understand this line of thinking from someone in this line of work, but then to spew that at people as though that is the ultimate answer to the situation is chilling. I think particularly because of the statement mentioned earlier, if you haven't been shot at regularly, you have no idea how you're going to respond. You might freeze up. Maybe you take off and like forget your loved one. That has happened before, just out of natural fear. So to say you're going to prepare, you know, nobody is, even these Proud Boys who are out here, you know, trying to formulate attacks and thank goodness being found out before anything happens or in a run into the wrong crowd and get pushed back into their trucks or whatever. Like, they don't know for real, like, what's going to happen. They just have this idea of how they're going to respond. So I just, this feels very much useless. It's, like, it's not going to be helpful to anyone in real. But maybe one or two people will be like, brick wall. Okay, where is one? There. Go. Move. I just think that you're going to be running on pure instinct if, God forbid, you find yourself in one of these situations.
Look, did I repeatedly use my wife as a human shield every time I heard a firecracker on July 4th? Like, yeah, maybe. But that's instinct. We don't know how we're going to respond. I think she gets it after some explaining. But yeah.
That's your truth.
That's my truth.
Yeah, and we respect that.
Thank you.
Like, were fireworks particularly horrible for you guys this year? I've never really been... had an issue with fireworks before, but this year maybe it's because I have a dog who's terrified of fireworks and that put me a little bit on edge. And I also live in a neighborhood where they'll pop off fireworks till like 4 a.m. but this year every time a firework went off I was like jumped a little. It was kind of upsetting. It only reminded me of gunfire. I had none of the childlike joy of like, ooh, sparkly thing in the sky. I was just like turned very much into a Squidward. I was like, cut it out.
Yeah.
We do not need the bombs right now.
In my neighborhood, they start setting stuff off, you know, kind of the moment it becomes 75 degrees or hot, right, or warmer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so most of the fireworks I only hear and I don't see, and those freak me out. And I do have a dog now, so I'm seeing it through her eyes and she is seeing red. She hates it so much and I feel so bad for her and everyone with PTSD from gunfire and all this shit, which is happening more and more. So I don't know. Maybe we do those fun drone light shows. Those are good drones.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are cute. Yeah.
It concerns me about our technical overlords and their ability to see everything, but you got to give a little and take a little, you know?
Yeah. Right.
So then the article switches to talking about how to deal with the terror, and it's... Can I tell you, not great news either. They basically recommend doing stuff that gives you the illusion of control while basically acknowledging that it isn't helping. So, like, they interview a psychologist and a psychiatrist. First of all, the section is called Find a Sense of Purpose and Control. And they're like, writing to members of Congress, protesting, fundraising, and starting petitions are all ways that regular people can help to harness their fear of daily life in a society where violence and devastation regularly dominate headlines. Duffy said, this is the psychiatrist, there's no reason to think this wouldn't happen again. And what brings people hope, oddly, is to brainstorm about what do you think we can do about it? I think people like the idea that they could contribute somehow to some kind of solution.
Wow.
Somehow to some kind of solution. Those are marching orders.
Some weird existential marching orders. Find the energy within yourself in these dark days to be nice.
Right. To politely reach out to Congress members and protest in a way that we, the Washington Post, will approve of and will not claim was like worthy of arrest.
Quote unquote violent.
Right.
They were so angry. It was scary. Why are they being like this?
Throw some fundraising dinners for all your rich friends and have them give you money to do what?
have some celebrities sing a song. It'll really invigorate Congress to do something about it, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I would like to ask people to stop singing. Unless you're a Baptist choir, don't sing when tragedy happens. It's weird. Don't do that. It's bizarre. You did it when Roe v. Wade got overturned, and it was startling and strange. America the Beautiful, maybe not the time. Not the place. This article just makes me feel like, okay, I don't think that there's anything new here. And the suggestion to write a letter just really pulls me up. If you can write a letter so good it would make our government act on gun safety, why haven't you penned it already? I don't want to make it your fault, but you knew you had this secret power all along and you should have been writing.
Well, they suggest this, writing letters and like starting petitions more. It's not as like a thing that could feasibly have any impact. It's as like a crafting. Like crafting can be good for dealing with stress. So
soothe the nerves. You know?
Mood booster.
The fact that it could contribute somehow to some kind of solution is probably the weakest, least specific like commitment that one could make, I feel like. But yeah, I don't know. This does feel like a larger trend where like the mainstream media seems to be, rather than being like, all right, well, this is an end point. This is like a line that has been crossed and we now need to like figure out what we do in this clearly broken society. They have instead just like used the same voice, the same tone, the same like mechanism for like getting by in the world to just interview like the statistically anomalous like group of anti-choice like 20 something women. Like that was a big piece in the New York Times. Yes. You know, worry about the safety of Brett Kavanaugh and just give us tips for how to survive in a fascist police state. Like become a police officer, basically. Become a SWAT team.
They were doing all these
member.
Articles on Trump supporters who had regrets about it, and or Trump supporters who were like, why doesn't my community like me anymore? I don't understand. Everyone's so mean now. Yeah, we've really got to focus in on who we're talking to and why in these situations. And the thing is, I know that there are a lot of journalists out there who are like, I would never have chosen to cover this story this way, but my editors and probably the money people above them decided that this was the best angle to take. And I just bring back local journalism, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
The ultimate listicle, I think.
that'll solve it. I'm surprised they didn't put that as one of the options of things that you can do that could somehow offer some kind of solution. Write the ultimate listicle that shakes this society to its foundations.
Equally as helpful.
But yeah, I don't know. I think people still look to the New York Times and the Washington Post as like, well, sometimes they're good, but like they're not helping us out of this situation, it would appear. They are the cement that holds this situation in place, and we need to figure out other options. Or read them and, you know, become like a sick operator who is like, I ascertained the individual assailant and by not underestimating the offender and the offender cohort. That's the line. As a collective, we underestimate the offender and the offender cohort every single day. Like that is the moment I lost hope for anything getting fixed in this country. Is like they just printed an FBI agent saying that.
Yeah, I'm decoding this article and it's saying, buy a gun.
Yes, I'm going, yes, exactly.
What? Oh, okay. What?
Right. Absolutely the solution to the problem.
They wouldn't say that, but they do offer just like breathless accounts and like quotes from somebody who offers both unarmed and armed defense tactical training. So, you know. And, you know, say his name like 5 times. So, you know where to reach out.
Yikes.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about Popeye.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
And we're back. And all right. So it's barely been 2 weeks since the woke Buzz Lightyear movie scarred America with a scene in which two women kiss for half a second. Some theaters actually posted warnings in the lobby.
Boo.
I don't. Joel, did you see the Buzz Lightyear movie?
No.
It did badly, which I had predicted. But I think people are like, well, that serves them right for not. Making it
okay,
Tim
it serves
Allen.
Them right for choosing to expand a universe that should have ended a movie ago. What are we doing, Disney? Toy Story was done. Andy had his adventure. Woody grew up in a way that was profoundly written and emotionally destabilizing. I'm obsessed with the first three Toy Story movies. They are so perfectly done. And Toy Story 4, you could take it back. I don't need it. And I really, truly. Definitely don't need a fake movie within a cinema that we never saw Andy interact with. Ugh, dumb.
Yeah. I also love Toy Story 4 and did not care about this movie and was confused and remain confused as to why it exists. But now we're on to the next controversy where Popeye the Sailor Man, like they're trying to redo the Popeye comic strip, which like is... When was the last time anybody read a newspaper comic strip for reasons other than to be like, oh my God, they still make these? But like, what? It's, I can't, it like, it has to have been decades for.
Baby Blues in the year 1999.
Right.
Last time I read one.
You have to the Boondocks, the animated show came out of a college paper news strip that then got picked up nationally, so that's early 2000s. And I do think that there's like the very long running comic strips that have their fan base, albeit a small one. But I, from a pop culture perspective, I don't think it's been in the quote zeitgeist for a hot minute.
Right. So I feel like that is what is happening here. I feel like the people rebooting Popeye the Sailor Man have like made a point to be like, this is being updated for a new like inclusive storyline, probably with like some knowledge that it was going to stir up controversy with like Breitbart and Newsmax, who are pissed.
Wait, can I read this headline?
Yes.
Popeye's comic strip gets woke makeover with more characters who aren't heterosexual.
Yes.
Breitbart, what are you on?
Picture that spinning at you.
Also, Bluto has been a queer icon for years. The ultimate bear.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sexually attracted to Bluto for sure.
Everyone is sexually attracted to Bluto.
I mean, there has been no heterosexuality assigned to Popeye, at least in my eyes, the past 10
years. And also, if you consider the history of comics, like some of the early... And specifically when it comes to like sailors and the Navy, like there are a lot of homoerotic early sailor cartoons from like the 40s.
This is the first I'm hearing of this.
Really?
No.
Okay, go on. It's like they're super popular even to this day. And so I think they just want to ignore queer history at all costs. They're like, it's new and it's scary. And it's like, it has literally been around you your whole life. Even when it was like undercover or quote in the closet, it was still vital and there. And so when these creators decide to acknowledge these queer communities that have supported their content for decades, I don't understand how you can be upset about it. It's like it's been here. Now someone's just saying, I see you and I acknowledge you, and we're just not going to force it to be hidden anymore. And they're like beside themselves about it. Get over it.
Yeah. Previously, Popeye cartoons have been full of racist caricatures, including a 1951 cartoon where Popeye and his dad battle savage, dark-skinned natives, which even included a joke about slavery. So that is the classic Popeye that everybody who's complaining about this is like clinging to, I guess.
Of course.
Popeye was there. Like, so some people have pointed out Popeye was gender fluid in some early strips. Dons a woman's clothes to act like a child's mother. But it's like, it is. At first I was like, oh, that's like a classic like comic or like cartoon strip. But there's like a lot of, there's like one comic strip that I'm pretty sure this is real that somebody reproduced where Popeye says, and I quote, "Don't you dare incinerate. I ain't been a good mother to Sweepy. I've been more'n a mother to him. I am a perfect male sex mother. That's what. I've been a father to him too. I've been even an aunt and an uncle and a cousin too." I do not understand what Popeye like mispronounces or like the logic of his pronunciation. I got the ability to act like both mother and father to infant. That's why I am such a good parent. I am amphibious.
Okay, so, like, so that's very literally.
Yeah, like very, yeah, it's not just like you put on a dress like full an infant who was crying, which is like one of the first examples that somebody reproduced, but it's like very much Popeye just being like, I am both a man and a woman and whatever, you know, gender identity I want. So fuck off.
Popeye's got the hips to carry off a skirt too. Like the figure is really banging in this outfit. I just want to say the apron is cute. I love it. I love that Popeye was just this open and comfortable with their gender fluidity. And I hope we see more of it. A lot more. And I hope it continues to piss people off because y'all are stupid. I can't.
So stupid.
I can't. But particularly with the amount of like transphobia permeating, I don't know, the entire universe right now. Like, it delights me to make these people angry. Get out of here.
Yeah. That also seems to be a thing that the New York Times has clung to as like, well, the reason that conservatives are mad at liberals is because of like transphobia, and because like liberals have been like too, you know, aggressive with their protection of like pronouns and stuff like that. And yeah, that just, we've been talking about it like for a while, that there's just this like anti-trans rage that is like bubbling under the surface of the country, and you can see it in like obviously
threatening all of us, like,
yeah,
the way that they're coming, you know, it's a very cliche, but like they're gonna come for one group and then immediately for the next. And my gosh, there was the craziest Twitter thread. Somebody had taken a photo of these TERF folks talking about how they're reanalyzing all of their past friendships and trying to figure out who was secretly trans around them. And they're going based off things of like, she had broad shoulders, she must secretly not be a biological woman. Like, what are you talking about? And then responding with, and my friend was so shocked and she won't admit it, she's lying. And it's like, this
so
is the most
caught her.
Bananas thing I've ever heard of. And the idea that anyone could control gender or create boundaries around gender completely baffles me. Or the other thing we've been seeing a lot of people like, oh, well, I don't like the word like menstruators, or I don't like the phrase people who menstruate. But it's like, people, no matter what set of genitalia they're born with, like if you're born with ovaries, doesn't automatically mean you're ever going to ovulate. It's not a foregone conclusion. So then to make it so that the only way to identify as a woman is based off of whether you menstruate or not, like, please leave. Please. What does that say to like women who've had hysterectomies? What does it say to trans? What does it say to trans men? Like, it's just, it's the most upsetting bananas things. I got really angry about this on Twitter the other day, because it's, I just can't fathom telling somebody like, no, you're not what you say you are.
Right.
Like, I just firmly believe you cannot identify outside of these very strict rules that have no basis in science, even though they cling to science. Like, science says this, that's not true. You don't know science. You're not a biologist. Leave. Like, I just,
This is so weird. Also, just to put so much time and energy into someone else's business. It's like, this is nothing to do with you. You're really just trying to make something happen for you. I don't know.
Wait, what is your obsession with anyone else's gender identity? Period.
Clearly, you know, you're questioning something about yourself that scares you. Always. Everyone has that within them.
Or you so cling to your ideology as your definition of your gender. For example, if you identify as a woman and you're like, no, this, I am a woman and this is the only way to be a woman, and I'm not interested in hearing any other viewpoints on womanhood. This is it. Like, that is the most closed-minded BS I've ever heard. And particularly for TERFs who are a part of the queer community, y'all make me the most angry. I'm not even gonna lie. I can't deal with you, because you should understand inherently the spectrum of gender. And to be a woman who excludes other women it's vile.
Right. And I feel like the New York Times is being like, and because like taking that position and being like, this is where we lost the argument on Roe. And it's just them trying to redraw the battle lines so that because they can't exist in a world where like the, you know, democratic establishment and the corporate like media establishment has just been proven to have completely failed, you know. So now they have to like create this weird reality where it's like, well, actually it was the left that went too far, and that is why we are in this situation.
We definitely haven't been stonewalling the process of government for a decade now. Oh god, I can't. Solid shout out to Popeye, though. Glad you're out here doing your thing. So, hope you do it more.
Yeah. I'm just like, what did Deborah Messing fight for? You know? What that is what I keep asking myself. So this is like a follow-up question. I had this like weird, like, kind of embarrassing thing happen where I was driving and I saw someone with a shirt that said resist on it. And like, I felt a brief little flutter of like, oh, maybe like people are starting some sort of social movement. And I got closer and I realized it was the Star Wars shirt. And
yeah.
And it made me like, I don't know, like, and I was listening to a podcast that was like analyzing like the Matrix's like cultural relevance and like the its use by both the left and the right. And I was like, I don't know, we live in such a, like, just a, what is becoming more and more evidently like just completely broken society where like there is a bad guy. The bad guy is like ultra wealthy, like looks like a movie villain. There's a bunch of them. The government is like just openly working only for corporations. And like, but we are more like, there's more conversation about like arguing over pop culture shit, I feel like, or at least like that. I feel like pop culture has been channeling it for so long, and like we've been rooting for the resistance and Star Wars for so long, and like haven't, this is like the ultimate old guy take, you've been too worried about Star Wars resistance. Yeah, build your own damn resistance. But I am like 100% the most guilty of this as well, that I'm just like, oh yeah, what if resistance, but not in Star Wars?
I mean, it's hard. It's hard to feel like anything will change at this point when activism itself has been commodified. Yes. And it's like, we're all kind of preaching to the choir, and that choir is making money off of us preaching. And it's just, you know, a vicious circle. So it's like, how do we completely divorce ourselves from all of those institutions entirely and truly make some sort of change? And it feels hard and impossible.
Right. But pop culture is also the measure by which we've explored like what is acceptable since you know, the boom of teenagers in the 60s getting their own financial like demographic that we can actually track. And the teenagers spend a ton of money, and they tend to be a viewpoint of like, where is society going? And so when we track, you know, societal changes that way, it makes sense that we sort of distilled it, you know, over the past, what, I guess now 60 years into like, oh, well, what's pop culture doing? And it's interesting when we look at animation and cartoons and stuff. We recently, too, there was a clip for the new Baymax show on Disney Plus, and Baymax is picking up tampons for somebody, which is great. I really love that we're include, like, girls frequently start menstruating at, like, you know, between 8 and 16. And so to bring that into the shows that they're watching, I think that's really brilliant. You know, people need to see that. And there's a trans person talking about like, oh, these are the pads I use. And like, people had a complete meltdown over this. They're like, what is this teaching children? Well, like, some men have periods. Period. Like, and it's a 2-second thing. Like, they literally pop in. They do have a trans rights shirt on. It's just the trans flag. And they're just like, hey, use these. And so I don't know, as somebody who's like very ingrained in pop culture and as also in touch with a lot of creators, I think it's interesting, to say the least, to watch people behind the scenes really push, I don't want to say agendas, but really make sure that folks are seen in a way that they haven't been seen before, and to get to children as early as possible, because, you know, some of them are really facing a lot of brainwashing they're going to have to undo later. And I think it is important to be able to see it in pop culture so they can be like, oh, not everyone thinks like my folks here.
Of course. Yeah. I think I mostly think of like the insidious nature of the entertainment industry itself, where they don't want to get in trouble for being how they've been for the past 100 years, which is exclusive and all that. So there's a little bit of me that's like, okay, I kind of see what you're doing here and with your insidious nature. But then, of course, that's amazing that we get to see these creators and these stories that we haven't seen before. It's going to be helpful ultimately. And, it's good that they're feeling guilty enough that they have to make these pretty drastic moves.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And also, I feel like the benefit of capitalism is like that the democratic, you know, they're trying to reach the most people because that's the most profitable thing for them, right? And so, like, they are, by like the logic of the market, like being inclusive, in which, you know, not the best reason to do it, but I do think that's at least a benefit that we can see.
I'll take it.
I'll take it.
Small steps.
But yeah, I guess I would differentiate between Baymax and a new Popeye comic, a newspaper comic strip reboot, which seems specifically designed to be served up to the elderly to be like, haha, face, get mad. So we can maybe get like a TV show or like a streaming show out of this or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess the thing that bummed me out the most on this front was Joe Biden pointing to cereal commercials as proof that America was headed in the right direction.
All these biracial families. Yeah. Look at us. The future.
Like, I mean, the kids today. And I'm not just like, look at the commercials. Like, when was the last time you saw that? And they wouldn't.
I mean,
that's what they want.
On the one hand, I get it. Like, Joe Biden has lived a very long time. And there was a moment for many years of his life where that wasn't visible. I understand. But at the same time, for a politician to consider any kind of advertisement a solution to actual people's problems.
Yeah.
That's very disheartening.
It's also not his job. Yeah. That's not, yeah. All right. Claire, it has been truly a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
You can find me at, oh my God, see, I'm on Twitter so rarely, I forget my own. On Twitter, at Claire O'Kane Claire on Twitter.
There it is. Yeah.
At Claire is O'Kane on Instagram. ClaireO'Kane.com for all your Claire O'Kane needs. And I'm doing my solo show at the Elysian Theater on August 20th at 10 p.m. Come on out. It's about grief and art, etc.
Amazing. Where's the Elysian Theater?
It's in, I think they call it a Frog Town.
Okay. Nice.
You know about it?
And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
I'm a big fan of my friend Dan Licata's tweets. He also, former SNL writer for Joe Parra Talks With You. A tweet of his that I think about a lot is, my grandpa was only okay at rapping. But then he got hit by lightning yesterday, and he has gotten so good at rapping now. His flows are like if Eminem grew up in the Great Depression. So that's calling the Great Depression the Great Depression is really funny to me. And follow Dan Licata on Twitter.com.
Joelle, where can people find you? What is a tweet or work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, thanks for having me back. You can find me over at Comic-Con Metapod. We have some dope episodes, including an entire feature with Avatar The Last Airbender, including the actors from The Last Airbender and Korra and the creators of the show, which is really cool. I was, of course, out sick with COVID when my icons were on, but Hector held it down. It's a really dope episode. And we have a Marvel-themed episode this week, which was a lot of fun. So please go take a listen to that. Why can't I find this tweet? Ugh.
I can go and then we can come back to you?
Yes.
Okay. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. And a tweet I've been enjoying. I've been enjoying a couple. Tim Kaczynski at Tom. No one clam should have all that chowder is fun. Mm-hmm. First person to shoot fish in a barrel. I don't even know how to describe how easy this is, from Edward James Almost. And then Axe Western Union 2K tweeted, customers will say shit like, it's asking me to remove my card. And I think I've said that before. Oh, also Caleb Studman tweeted, what the inside of my AirPods case looks like is between me and God. And I feel that because it is, I don't know how it happens. I don't understand, but it is not great. It's not good in there. Joelle, have you found a tweet or work of social media that you've been enjoying?
I have. This comes from at @blackassfeminist on Twitter. I'm sorry the church are having such a difficult time right now. Have you all tried building a personality around something other than your dehydrated ass coochie? It might help. Oh, what a read.
Yeah, it's a problem.
I also liked a tweet from Claire. I'm in the movie come out soon, from yesterday.
Yeah,
that movie is, that trailer is very funny.
thing.
So it's like daddy's home type.
Dad premise. And stepdad. Yeah.
Yeah, dad and stepdad, and there are some really good quotes. People should go check it out. But yeah. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Super producer Justin, do you have one for us?
I do, seeing as how me and my sister, Joelle Monique, are moving on Saturday. I figured I would play this, recommend this song for you guys. I love Neo Soul, and it's been doing really well over in other countries, in Australia and in the UK. And there's this band called Jungle that's got a song called House in LA. It's a very dope track. It's got so much space for the notes to breathe, and the falsetto vocals on it, they'll just send you to another place. So check out this song, House in LA by Jungle, and you can find that in the footnotes.
Damn, I thought you were going to do Moving Out by Billy Joel.
That was a close second. It was a close second.
Also, very cool song. All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.